Welcome back to the Homeschool Conversation Podcast. Today on this episode, we will be discussing the common question, which is, how do you organize your day as a homeschool mom? What schedule or routine do you follow? So I'm excited to talk about this because it is something that I have struggled through, I have read books about, and I have finally found a system that works for me. One of the most important parts of creating a homeschool schedule or routine is to really respect what your family's natural flow of energy is. And what I mean by that is that some people tend to be better operators and thinkers and learners when it is the morning, and others tend to function better at nighttime. So you may need to take that into account when you are organizing your day and try to plan for the most difficult subjects to be conquered at those hours. Once you've decided what the most important subjects are and what parts of the days you want to conquer them in, you can start designing your routine, which I love the idea of a routine more than I do love the idea of a schedule. So a routine is something that happens, like a rhythm happens. So it may not happen at a certain time, but it's something that happens predictably. And it may not happen at 9 o'clock or at 9:30 or at 10 o'clock, but it's something that happens after you wake up, after you eat, before you eat lunch, and so on and so forth. So developing a routine or a rhythm is something that is really helpful for you and for your children to just come to learn to expect certain things in the day, which are somewhat unavoidable, like breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So if you wanted to incorporate a routine around mealtimes, that would be a great place to start. Something that is very popular in the homeschool community is the development of starting your day with a poetry and tea time. And I know this may not come naturally to most families because we're used to a very crazy, chaotic morning and we want to get right into chores and getting schoolwork done. And so it's not natural to wake up and boil a pot of tea and whip out a book about poetry. However, I can tell you that after many years of resisting this practice, I've come to really enjoy this part of the day. And my kids also so much more enjoy starting their day on a peaceful note. So definitely recommend giving it a try for at least a week before you give up on it. And I guarantee you that it's going to give you a warmer feeling, a peaceful start, and just an overall sense of satisfaction as you give this a try. And all it really is literally having either hot chocolate, warm tea, warm coffee. It could even be a warm cup of milk, just something that's sort of comforting. Some people go a little bit more all out and get new china, like from the thrift store, or make sugar cubes, like we actually did make sugar cubes because, you know, homeschool life, that's what we do. And it just made it feel a little bit more special. And then in terms of what you are reading, it is going to be something that you read aloud to your kids, something that is a little bit out of the ordinary. So that's why poems make a great choice. But some people prefer to do a Bible story. Some people prefer to do classic literature like Shakespeare for kids. Just pick something that is going to be special and not too schooly, like you're trying to teach something. The idea of starting your homeschool day with this is to bring the atmosphere of love, of comfort, of being on the same team, and just creating an overall temperature of learning is fun and learning is our lifestyle. and to sort of switch gears out of school at home and switch into the gear of a lifestyle of learning. Now, there is countless research and data out there about the benefits of reading aloud to your kids, even when they get to the age that they can read on their own, like my kids are. So it can be tempting to just skip this part or try to encourage your kids to read on their own or assign them readings to do. But I really encourage you to dig deep and choose to read to them anyway, even if it really is only for 10 to 15 minutes. Pick a good chapter book, a funny poem book, and just give it a try in terms of reading to them and really enjoying the process of reading. Letting them see you enjoy reading is going to give them a different perspective about how they see reading. When they realize that reading is something that you guys do together and that you enjoy together, it's going to leave that taste in their mouth when they think of reading on their own one day. Now, there is a great podcast all about this called The Read Aloud Revival, and there also is a book about this. I'm currently running a book club about this book because it's been that much of a life changer for me just reading it. So if you're not a big reader, the book is also available on Hoopla as an audiobook, or you can just listen to her podcast, which is also full of great book recommendations and helping you to understand why reading aloud is such an important way to start your day and just an important component of your life. Usually after we do our read aloud, then we start to clean up and transition into the personal care hygiene section of the day. So whether that be showers, brushing teeth, getting dressed, or just doing a quick cleanup in the house for 15 minutes, that is what we do. So I actually used to start my day with emptying the dishwasher, making coffee, and having my kids also clean up whatever mess they left out the day before. And it just made for a very angry, chaotic, not peaceful type of morning. So I decided that after enough days and weeks of starting our day with rushed anger, focusing on the things that aren't important, and trying to get it all done before the day started, I decided that that wasn't the way that I wanted our mornings to start anymore. And that thinking came from me actually reading this other book called The Memory Making Mom, which is such a good book. I can't recommend it enough. But it just talks about how important it is for us to create long-lasting positive memories in our children's lives. And I could go on and on about it in another episode, but it did encourage me to start thinking differently about the way that I am creating memories for my kids. So I decided I'm not going to start my mornings the way that I was. And this start was a good compromise because, let's face it, there's still chores and cleaning up that needs to be done before we can really dive into the rest of our day. So after we do something like what I mentioned with the poetry tea time, then we do start doing a little bit of chores. I try to be careful not to make it be a huge time-consuming thing because the kids still need to release that desire to play and to have some free time before we start doing all of our school stuff. So I try to let this just be a 15-minute cleanup where I either empty the dishwasher, we start preparing a breakfast type of thing, or we just do a sweeping up on the floor. It's just a quick task where we work together for 15 minutes to clean up our space so that we can think clearly and not be stepping all over Cheerios and scrubbing dishes that have food stuck onto it. We kind of just want to get our space prepared for us in those 15 minutes. And I really encourage you guys to include your kids in morning chores. Let them feel responsible for doing something and contributing to the family's goals of having a clean house. So again, there's no set time that all this stuff is happening by. It's just things that happen one after another, like a rhythm routine. So after we've done cleaning up, we usually move on to whatever we're having for breakfast. And so sometimes the kids will want to make their own breakfast. They are very self-sufficient in the kitchen, but I still need to be present in case an emergency happens. So they will want to make breakfast. And again, this is something that I resisted for a while because it does come with a lot of mess and it does take them a really long time to actually do because they have a whole other separate imaginary system happening with their cooking, but that's another story. But the point is that cooking for them brings them a lot of self-confidence. It fosters a lot of, you know, creative play and teamwork, and they're also measuring and preparing and thinking and planning out everything that they're going to do is my favorite part of what they're doing. They have to think about every step, about how hot the stove is getting while they're preparing their pan with their butter, or if they're making bacon, or if they're frying eggs, or if they're making pancakes. It just requires so much thinking and planning, and I just love that part of it. So I have learned to let it go in terms of trying to make them eat by a certain time, because then they lose that whole entire experience. And that has been very liberating for me, to stop stressing about the mess and to stop stressing about the amount of time that they're wasting. Finger is in the air right now. I'm doing the little finger air quotes. You know, this is not time that is being wasted as I used to think of it as. This is time being really, really well spent. So if your kids like to cook in the kitchen, or if you'd like for them to start cooking in the kitchen, I definitely recommend at least picking one meal, whether it may not be breakfast for you if you're not really a morning person, but maybe lunch. Let them make a grilled cheese, or let them make a tuna sandwich, or let them make something like a sloppy joe where they're just browning up ground beef and pouring a can of sauce in. These can be great confidence boosters for them, and it's a great bonding experience, and it's a great life skill for them to learn how to make something that they can eat, that they contributed to. And on top of all of that, it's just such a great memory that they will look back on, and you will look back on very fondly one day when the time comes to send them out on their way out of your house. Okay, so after they have cooked breakfast and then cleaned up all of the mess that comes with that, I usually will allow them some free time to play because they really are needing some of that release. So I usually will give them about 20 to 30 minutes to either go outside and play. They will feed the dogs, they will play with the dogs or play with the babies, and they just love this part of the day where they've eaten. And I love this part of the day because it's kind of like a pocket of time where there's nothing that really has to be done except to kind of just be together and enjoy the day. During this time, I start planning for lunch and dinner time. I've been trying to actually make dinner during lunchtime because then I don't have to worry about it later on in the day, and it just feels a lot less rushed. So this is around the time that I just start thinking about what meat do I need to have out, or what vegetables do I need to have cut up. I just start kind of thinking and planning around this time for that. Usually around this time, we also will start preparing to go out for a little family walk. So we will do that with the babies because they are also getting close to nap time around the afternoon part of the day. So if you are one of those people who have babies or toddlers that are taking naps, you know, or you will find out, that nap time is the golden time. My twins are about 21 months, so they are down to only one nap a day. And that one nap is probably about an hour and a half, sometimes 2 hours. And it's not always at the same consistent time, but it does always happen every day. So whether it happens at 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock, my kids know that when that nap happens, I zoom downstairs to them and I am on top of them to, you know, work on something together with them, whether it's a project that we normally can't work on when the babies are awake, or if it's book work, if they're behind in some type of goal that I had for them with math, or if it's a game that they want to play that we normally can't play because of the baby's tornado destruction. So the baby's nap time is the only time that we have together to do those types of things. So it allows for a lot of time management on our parts because we don't have the whole day to do these types of activities. So if you guys are in a similar situation with having babies and toddlers, I really encourage you to baby wear. Wearing your baby while they're young and still want to be held a lot is really helpful. As they start to get older, what has worked for me is allowing them some screen time. My toddlers love watching Cocomelon. Something else that's been really helpful if you're not a screen fan is to allow them to paint with watercolors. Watercolors are very easy to clean up, but they're enough of a novelty to entertain any baby or toddler. And besides that, I do kind of have like a little bit of a busy box, which is a box of things in it that they normally don't get to play with. So this could be something different every month or whenever you feel the need to replace it, but it's like magnet tiles, or it could be Cheerios on a string that they put on a string, the pipe cleaner. It can be anything that is sort of a novelty toy to them that's going to feel like a new toy. And I take out those things to let them play with for 20 minutes. Now the key here is kind of to just remember that your goal is not to get an hour of distraction-free time from your baby or your toddler so that you can homeschool the older kids. The focus is really just to grab 15 to 20 minutes, maybe in only 10 minutes, to just distract your baby so that you can give some attention to your older kids. And I think having that expectation that you're not going to get a bunch of time, of focused time, is really setting yourself up to be the least disappointed. Because the more you expect from your baby and the more pressure you put on yourself to have that completely free time, the more you're going to be disappointed. So I just really encourage you guys to just focus on getting small pockets of time and striving to get the bigger pocket of time during a nap. Now this is why it's so important to me that my kids are independent learners, because I do have twin toddlers, so I can't sit with them all the time and read with them and do curriculum with them. I just don't have enough of me to go around to do that. So I really do need my kids to be as independent with their learning as possible, and just I think of myself as their research assistant, so whatever they're curious about that they don't know how to find out, or if they need help spelling something, or if they just need encouragement with thinking about what they're curious about, that's what my role is. But my role is not to get the books out, assign them lessons, check in on over their shoulder, see if they're spelling the words right, or if they're remembering to capitalize certain letters. That's not my goal with them. So those things actually do happen naturally because they want it to happen. They want to know how to spell things in order for their message to be communicated, or in order for them to find something on the Minecraft inventory, or for my daughter, in order for her to spell something in her card. She wants to know how it's spelled. So I don't have to hang over her shoulder and make her practice sight words in order to accomplish that with her. But I will say that each child is so different. My daughter is way more motivated to spell and write than my son is. My son is way more motivated with video games, and he's way more motivated with reading as well. So each child is so different by what motivates them, and it takes a bunch of trial and error to find that. Now, in terms of what I'm actually doing with my kids during nap time, so I used to create a set of goals for the month based on a set of goals that I made for the year. So at the beginning of the school year, I would create a list of goals that I had, and I would pretend we were hitting them for each month of the year. So September might have been our butterfly unit, and then October would have been our dinosaur unit, and then November would be our insect unit, and so on and so forth. So I had created a list of interests of my kids at the time, and we created a list of goals of what we wanted to learn about for each month. And then I would go into each month and try to find ways to pull those interests into each of the subjects that we had to cover. So if it was butterflies, we did butterfly math, we did butterfly science, we did butterfly language arts, butterfly everything, basically. And then so on and so forth. We would repeat that every month. And I used to do that in the first school year that I was homeschooling, because I just felt like I needed to have some type of goals and boxes to check off. And I really needed that for my own programming and my own brain. That's just how my brain worked from being public schooled myself. I just felt like you had to have a plan in order for learning to happen. So that might be where a lot of you are too. You just maybe enjoy structure and enjoy planning, and I can totally relate to that and respect that. However, in my second year, that's when my twins came along, and that's when all my plans kind of went out the window and didn't work anymore. So I've learned a lot in that time, and basically what we do now during their nap time is we really dive into whatever they're curious about, and that is how we spend our nap time, which are like my golden hours of focused learning. Another really important thing we do during nap time is games that are educational, like Monopoly or Scrabble or even Minecraft and Animal Jam. These are games that I normally can't focus on when my twins are awake, so I take advantage of doing this with my kids when my twins are sleeping. Once my twins are awake, they usually need a little bit of my attention in terms of eating and just grooming things. So my older kids are back off to playing on their own again. And then after that, we'll start to gather back up together to either go out for a walk again. We normally would go to like a museum or to a library or to a friend's house around this time if I already have dinner done as well. So this is a really important time for me to sort of evaluate where I am in the day, if I feel like I need to spend more time with cooking, or I need to spend more time with my older kids, or I need to spend more time with my twins. This is like the part of the day where I sort of evaluate, where have I been neglecting today? And I think every day I struggle with, you know, balancing two balls really well and dropping the third and the fourth one. So it's just a constant juggling act. Every day is different, and never do I have a perfectly run day. I think every day is just me learning how to get better and what didn't work the day before. Now, in terms of the evenings and the weekends and summers and holidays, you know, our schedule and routine pretty much stays the same, only because I really don't do a school at home approach. So if my kids do want to learn about something over the summer or on a holiday or on the weekend, I never tell them that, oh, you have to wait until, you know, school day, or I'll add that onto our school list. I almost will never say that. I'll almost always say, let's look that up right now. You know, if you want to know why the sky is blue, let's find that out right now. Let's either find a book about it, let's find a YouTube video about it. Every time they want to know something, I jump on the opportunity. That's just been my personality with them, and I have found that when they're curious enough to ask, that's when they're the most attentive to then listen through the explanation. If I wait until another time, they kind of lose their interest. Like one time my kids wanted to know how dog food was made, and I waited to look up how dog food was made, and when we did watch it, they were so not interested anymore. And I regretted it, because I was like, that would have been a great thing for them to learn how dog food is made. We could have talked about nutrition. We could have talked about so many different ingredients and just the opportunity to learn was lost because I didn't want to jump on it at the time. So don't make that mistake, guys. When your kids ask questions, that is an opportunity. Anyway, so the point that I'm trying to make is that learning happens for us all the time. So we are one of those people who will school year round. And that means that we don't take breaks from schooling. We do learning all the time. In the evenings and on the weekends, we will watch a lot of educational TV shows. I thank God for Netflix and for YouTube because we use those things all the time. I don't let my kids watch any garbage TV, even if it is the weekend or a holiday or the summer. My kids are not allowed to watch garbage TV. For the most part, they only watch educational shows like Sid the Science Kid, Magic School Bus. When Kylie was younger, she would watch Alpha Blocks. Right now, they're into Operation Ouch. So they love watching these like science-y type of shows for kids on YouTube and Netflix. And so I really recommend you redeeming your child's free time. If they're going to be allowed to have TV time or tablet time, find ways to let them play games or watch shows that are actually educational in nature. And then you kind of kill two birds with one stone. They're getting to have free time, but their free time is actually teaching them something. And to me, I call that a mom win. Anyway, I hope this episode has been helpful to you, and I am looking forward to hearing your questions and your thoughts about how I do my homeschool routine. If you or someone you know has an even better homeschool routine or something that they have found worked for them, I'd love to talk more about this and to even have you on my show. So if you're interested in appearing as a guest speaker on my podcast, I'd love to have you. I feel like conversations are so much more fun to have when there are two people discussing it rather than me just remembering questions people had asked me and thoughts that I've had over the years. I'd love to talk to you. And it's super simple to be a guest on this podcast because all you have to do is download the app called Anchor. And then we both agree to meet on here at the same time and the app records the whole thing for us. And then I can just edit it and add music and, you know, whatever things need to be done to the episode to make it ready for publishing. So I'd love to have you on my podcast if you're listening to this and you have questions. It's just the best way to help reach other people who are having the same questions as you are and are in the same place that you are. Whether you're a brand new homeschooler or a veteran homeschooler or somewhere in between, I'd love to have you on my show. Thanks for listening to the Homeschool Conversation Podcast. See you next time.